As we start this morning, tell me if you've heard this recently. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. You might have heard that within the last hour. You probably feel that right now. Time change hit hard this morning. It's always, you know, a little bit challenging. I'm riding the struggle bus this morning, but this feeling that you're just exhausted, the feeling of being overwhelmed. Think about people you know in your life who feel exhausted and overwhelmed. Think about the number of people that you work with who are on the edge of burnout because of how much they're working and their family schedule feels impossible to keep up with and their life feels chaotic and just feels overwhelming. There's a word that comes from Japanese culture, and we're going to make a couple of references here in the opening illustration to words from Japanese culture. Let me be very clear. These realities are reflected in Western American culture as well, and so this is not any negative slide against Japanese culture at all. In fact, just thinking about missions this morning, I've wondered several times if God will not, in the 21st century, do an incredible revival in Japan. If you go back to the 20th century and God's revival and his work in the 20th century, so many things happened in South Korea, just an explosion of the gospel in the church. And there are some incredible things going on around the world right now among teenagers and college students, young adults. You may not have heard a lot of this, but there is revival happening around the world. And there's even a part of me this morning using these illustrations. I wonder if God, this century, doesn't do something incredible in Japanese youth culture and in that country. And so I have no reason to wonder that. I just want you to know as I use these illustrations this morning, no slide on Japanese culture because they reveal our heart. But when you think about burnout and you think about being overwhelmed, there's a Japanese term, karoshi. And karoshi is a word that just means overwork death or death from overwork. It's a word that developed in Japanese culture because otherwise healthy men were dying at a very young age. And the only indicator that doctors could find is these men were literally working themselves to death. The stress of work, the number of hours that were being put in, the social and family pressure was just finally leading their bodies to break down. And so this term developed in Japanese culture of karoshi. Now, that's I'm tired, I'm exhausted. Tell me if you've heard this recently. I'm bored. Those of you with little kids, those of you who are an older big kid, but you're still a little kid, how many times have you thought, I'm bored, you know? And it's interesting, the studies that are coming out showing that boredom is not the worst thing ever for kids. Being bored is not a bad thing. As parents and teachers, we're not chief entertainment officers. Like, that's not our job, being bored. And as adults, we should probably be a little better about being bored because, I mean, who hasn't turned to this little thing because you felt bored for half a second and then this is supposed to get you out of boredom? But here's the bad part of boredom. Boredom, when it turns negative, you can become very stagnant. Life feels blah. Like there just doesn't seem to be any drive to succeed, drive to do anything. It can bleed into types of depression. You just feel bored. You feel stuck. Nothing's happening in life. You can't imagine taking a next step. In Japanese culture, a term has developed over the last couple of decades, and the term is hikikomori. Hard word to say, but if you look it up, hikikomori. Hikikomori is a term that is used in Japanese culture to refer to young adults, primarily men, who are living severely socially withdrawn lives to the point that they go years of not coming out of their parents' house. They live in their parents' house, oftentimes in one or two rooms or the basement, no work, no physical relationships outside of that house. And they will go months and sometimes many years in this type of situation, just stuck in life, stuck in the house, not doing anything, living in that type of situation. We have some people in the world who are burned out from working too much. And we have some people in the world who are bored and stuck and not doing anything. Recently, I heard a quote at an Oklahoma Baptist church planting workshop, and this quote has rocked my world, and I want you to see it up on the screen. Here's the quote. Some people are burned out of church and faith, Many others are bored out of church and faith. Some people, when they think about church and religion, you grew up in a religious background where you were at church 3, 4, 5 times a week. It was always about signing up for something more. It was always you need to do something more. It was busy, busy, busier. And the busier you looked with your faith, the more spiritual you were considered. And it all became about performance. It all became about being busy. And what happens over time is if we live our lives in that way, we get burned out on religion. We get burned out on church, and people reach a point and they're like, yeah, this is just another thing I do, and I've got too much on my plate already, and I just don't want it anymore. And they're burned out, and they go another direction. But more terrifying to me as a pastor are people who get bored out of church, who say, what's the point of this? The only reason I show up is because I'm told to show up. I know I'm supposed to do this. I don't see any meaning behind it. I don't see any purpose behind it. I have no idea how this impacts my life. And so the first chance that I get to check out a church, I'm out of here because I'm just bored by this. And let's be honest, you know, I've probably preached a boring sermon or 100 in my life. Like that happens. Like we don't want to be boring with church. We don't want to be boring with these things. But we get sucked into this idea. We just don't see the point of it. It seems meaningless. And so you have people in the world, some who are on the edge of being burned out, and some who are on the edge of being bored out. And my question for you this morning is, which of those are you in danger of? Some of you come in here this morning and you're on the edge of being burned out. You're exhausted from life, you're exhausted from work, you're exhausted and you feel overwhelmed from everything going on in your life, and you feel on the edge of burned out. And some of you are here and you can't imagine taking a next step in life because you're just stuck. And you're bored, and you don't see the purpose, and you're losing track of meaning. You don't know what the Lord has for you. And here's what I want to say to you this morning. That the cross of Jesus Christ brings peace to those who are burned out and purpose to those who are bored out. When we understand the cross of Jesus, when we understand what we're talking about in Christianity, it brings incredible peace to those who are on the edge of burnout, and it brings incredible purpose and true life to those who are on the edge of being bored out. Now, you need to see this in Scripture because you didn't come for me to give you lessons on Western culture or Japanese culture. We want to see this in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 13. Let's look at this together and see how this comes out of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 13, starting in verse 9. Verse 9 says this. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. For it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. In this situation, as we read these verses, I'm going to fill in a couple of gaps from the Old Testament part of your Bible because a lot of what we talk about this morning won't make as much sense if we don't understand a few things happening in the Old Testament. But here's what's happening with the people who are receiving this book to the Hebrews, who are part of this church, who are receiving this sermon. There are people in the church who are constantly chasing all of these new teachings, all of these strange, diverse teachings that are out there. This is the person who buys every new product that comes along on Instagram. You scroll down, hit buy now, shop now. Like you're always chasing the next thing. If I could just do this, get this teaching, buy this new book, accomplish this, then I would find spiritual strength. And there's a connection here at the end of the verse where it was being associated with certain foods. If you like to make notes in your Bible, next to the word foods there, you would make a note to reference back to Hebrews chapter 9. The way to understand what's happening here in Hebrews 13 is this word food tags back to something in Hebrews chapter 9 in your Bible. And foods became a way of talking about all of these external regulations and rituals that the people were participating in as part of their Jewish faith. And so they were eating certain foods, they were going to certain meals, they were being a part of certain activities that were happening because they were trying to find hope in their life. They were trying to find spiritual strength. The problem is, Hebrews 9 tells us that all these new teachings that were coming along, all these foods that they were eating, it only dealt with the external part of their life. It never addressed their heart. It never got to the core of the problem. It only dealt with the behavior. And a religion that only affects our behavior and not our heart is ultimately going to burn us out. If you have a religion that's all about trying to keep up the right appearance, and that religion never reaches your heart or your mind, you will burn out at a certain point. Now, let me give you an image for this that might make more sense of it. So if you work better with pictures than with words, let me give you a picture that might help you understand this. We talk about these three circles at Emmaus. They're useful in different ways, different areas. I think they really help for understanding these verses right here. So when you think about this idea of burnout, you think about these three circles. Let me walk you through this. That top left circle up there with the arrow pointing up, that's just the fact that God created all things. So he created the world, he created our lives, we want to live for him. When we go away from God, that's called sin, and sin leads to brokenness and death and separation from God and all the troubles we find ourselves in the world. And then you see these little squiggly lines there. What are those squiggly lines? Those are called burnout. So those squiggly lines are our human attempts to deal with the sin and brokenness in our lives and the world. So we think to ourselves, man, I could fix this. Like, I know things aren't going right now. They're not going good right now, but I could fix this. Like, if I just chased down this new book or I went to this other therapist, or if I purchased this and I was able to do this, then I would be able to address the brokenness in my life and in the world. And we chase and we chase and we chase. And where do those squiggly lines lead you? Further from God. Because we are trying to address an issue in our life that can only be addressed in one way. Look back at your Bible. Where do we find true spiritual strength? Look back at verse 9. What does it say? It says, it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods. Verse 10, we have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. What's going on here? These verses are saying that when you need your heart to be addressed, when you need God to work in your life, you don't chase every new teaching that comes along. You don't turn to external religious rituals. You don't burn yourself out chasing all of these things. What is our heart strengthened by? By grace. And this is the most incredible news in the history of the world. This is the reality that the answer to our pain and brokenness and burnout is God's free grace. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. But he has given it to us freely, that it is overwhelming. If you have grown up in a lifetime where you felt you were always working to prove yourself to God, you were always working to impress somebody, you were always trying to chase the next thing, grace is the most overwhelming message you will ever hear in your life, to know that God's goodness and salvation has been given to us. Where? Where do you find this grace? The altar. Now, if you grew up in the church, we learned about these steps up here being called the altar. That's okay. You know, it can be a little bit confusing at times, but I get that idea. What altar is being talked about in this verse? It is the cross of Jesus Christ. That on the altar, this place where these sacrifices were offered, is the place where Jesus gave his life for us. And the message here, this message of good news, is that for those who are burned out, for those who are overwhelmed, when they come to Jesus, they find grace and forgiveness. And if you're here and you're not a Christian, you're kind of curious about these things, but it's not really for you, you're not a follower of Jesus, you can hear a message like that and it can sound too good to be true. So this message is Jesus has died. He has taken on our sins. He rose from the dead to defeat death and is offered freely, that if we receive it, we find rest for our souls. And you hear that and it sounds too good to be true. And friends, it is so good that it is true. This is the hope. This is where we turn. Look back at the picture. Remember that picture of the three circles. Jesus has this great statement in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And in Matthew 11, 28, he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Does anybody want to sign up for the weary and burden team? Like, you know what that feels like? Like, to be part of the weary and burden team? Like, we understand that. And Jesus doesn't say, get your life together. He says, you're over here chasing all these things. Just turn to me. Repent of your sins. Repent of trying to control your own life. Turn to me and find rest for your souls. Find salvation. Find forgiveness. Find grace. Find mercy. Find eternal life. This is what you were created for. Don't chase these things on your own. Don't burn yourself out. Turn to Jesus. Man, this is good news. If you are here this morning and you feel burned out and weary and burdened and you have been trying to get your life together, this morning, would you talk to someone about turning to Jesus, trusting in him? We live in a world where people are burning out and the gospel of Jesus is offered freely. We want them to see that. Now, that's one extreme, but it's only one of the extremes because there's also people who are on the edge of being bored out. But guess what? The Bible addresses that too. Like, the good news of Scripture is it says, well, I'll address people over here, and now let's address people over here. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 11. Watch us kind of turn the corner here. So we've, for those who are burned out, the cross brings peace. Now, turn the corner. Verse 11. It says, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. Now, if you read that verse, Hebrews 13, 11, and you think, I have no idea what is going on in that verse, that is absolutely okay, all right? There is so much Old Testament background happening here. If you want to make a note, Leviticus chapter 16, fair warning, if you've not read the book of Leviticus before, you just got to know what you're getting into there, okay? So there's a lot of information about sacrifices and rituals that are given to the people so that they could experience God. And so Leviticus 16, you can go back, and what you're going to read there is primarily about something called the Day of Atonement. If you've heard the Jewish phrase Yom Kippur, this idea of Day of Atonement, where once per year the high priest would go into the tabernacle, into the temple, and these sacrifices would be offered. One bull, one goat, and then the other goat was not killed. Hands were placed, the sins of the people placed on that goat, and that goat got sent out into the wilderness, okay? So a bull is taken out, a goat is taken out, a bull is killed, a goat is killed, and one goat is released into the wilderness. Now, here's what this verse is saying. That bull and goat that are killed, their blood is placed on the Holy of Holies, on this altar, this mercy seat area here, so that the place can be made holy. But what happens? The bodies of those animals are burned outside the camp, outside the holy place. Those bodies are taken outside to be burned. It would be good of you at this point to ask, so what? Like, what's the point that's being made here? Well, look at the next verse. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, so Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. This is incredible. So what was pictured in the Old Testament with these bulls and goats is fulfilled perfectly with the death of Jesus on the cross. But here's the key. If you go back to John chapter 19 and you read about the death of Jesus on the cross, where did that death happen? It happened outside the city gates. Just like the bulls and goats in the Old Testament, their bodies were burned outside the camp. Jesus died outside the camp, but his blood, Jesus' blood, was not applied to a physical earthly tabernacle. His blood was given on the cross, and Jesus' body was not burned. Jesus' body was buried, because 3 days later, he would rise to say that he has overcome sin and death. What is the result of that? That he would sanctify the people. If you don't know the word sanctify, totally understandable. Sanctify is a $100 theology word that means make holy. So when you see sanctify, kids, and you don't know what that word means, it means to make holy. Separated from sin, separated from that which is unclean, and dedicated to God. So because of Jesus' blood, we can be made holy, made right with God. Then that leads to another question. So what? Check out the next verse in your Bible. This is incredible. So this is what happened with Jesus. Verse 13. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here, in the camp, in the old covenant, in this world, we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Just like Jesus went outside the camp, separated himself from the tabernacle and the temple, he went out there to die, we too are called to go out to where Jesus died. If you want to experience God's work in your life, it is not found inside the camp. It is found outside the camp. Now, what this begs for in the Bible is this begs for a comparison chart. Because if you've not been to Emmaus before, we love comparison charts, okay? My wife loves comparison charts, therefore I love comparison charts, therefore Emmaus loves comparison charts, okay? So these are so helpful to understand what's going on in the Bible. Let me throw a chart up there for you. Left side, inside the camp. Right side of the column, outside the camp. What's happening in these verses? Inside the camp is the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, these Jewish ideas of regulations that were given for a time. They were good for a time, but they were not ultimate. They were not ultimate because they were pointing us toward Jesus. And Jesus' cross is outside the camp. So you've got to go away from what you've previously depended on, and you've got to go out to Jesus. To go outside the camp is to go to Jesus. Inside the camp, this is earthly. This is temporary. These are things that were given for a time, but they weren't meant to be for forever. Outside the camp, what do you find? You're going out to the eternal city. You are going out to God's unshakable kingdom. To go out of the camp, to go outside the camp, is to move towards God's unshakable eternal kingdom. Inside the camp, this is safe, this is comfortable, but the whole goal is to stay there. Amanda brought up a good point to me this week while we were talking through this. The idea that so many people define Christianity by what they're against. Like, faith becomes all about, I'm not that, I don't do that, don't do that. It's all about, how do I protect myself in this bubble? What is this whole imagery about? To follow Jesus is to go outside the camp, to go out where you're going to deal with difficulty, where you're going to deal with things that are hard, where you're going to face opposition and hardship and reproach because of your faith. You go out to those places inside the camp. That should not be where the church is. And here we face the difficulty, okay? Here we face the difficulty. When people think, this is going to take all the brain power we have on Time Change Sunday, okay? So we're going to have to work hard on this. When people think about inside the camp, a place that is designed for comfort, a place that's associated with boredom, in our very worst moments, that becomes the church building. And then to go outside the camp is to go outside the church building, and then you're outside the camp and you're doing the work of Jesus. Friends, I hope that's not true of us. Because when you go outside the camp, you're going toward holiness and you are going toward mission. And when we gather as the church, we are gathering as those who find peace in the cross of Jesus Christ and who have find purpose for our lives. And our ultimate purpose is not just to gather into a group and say, we're going to do whatever makes us safe and comfortable. Our purpose is to go where Jesus is at work. And so when we gather as a church, we are gathering to remind ourselves. When you have come in here this morning, hear me out on this. We've got to be on the same page on this. When you came here this morning, you did not come here to retreat inside the camp. You came to a huddle that is happening outside the camp. You came to a huddle that is gathered around the cross of Jesus Christ, because that's where we find hope for our life. That's what drives us to what really matters. And so in our boredom, God is saying to us, I made you for more than that. I made you for things that matter. Seek first the kingdom of God. Give your life to things that are eternal. Don't lay up your treasures here on earth. Don't waste your life on comfort and security when Jesus is at work in powerful ways. Go to where Jesus is at work. Be a part of that. Do you know where Jesus is at work? probably in your next door neighbor's house, probably in the situation that on the outside looks like they have it all together, and behind closed doors, they're barely holding on. And Jesus is at work in that situation. Jesus is at work with our friends in North Africa. I pray that Jesus is at work among the young adults of Japan. I pray that Jesus is at work in Arlington, Texas next week when our students show up there. Jesus is at work transforming people's lives. And when you remember how that whole picture is put together of the three circles, this way that Jesus brings us around to the cross, when you get around to the cross, it points you back to God that says, I'm going to live my life for Him. I'm not going to live my life burned out on the things of this world, and I'm not going to live my life bored out, wasting my life. The cross brings peace for the burned out and purpose for the bored out. Let me leave you with this. I want you to wrap up with this. We're going to use this as reflection, kind of take a deep breath. God, what are you doing in our lives? And then we're going to have a time of prayer for our students who are going on this mission trip. But let me end with this slide right here. We live in a world where people are chasing everything, trying to find spiritual strength, trying to find significance in their life. And all we want to say to people who are weary and burdened and burned out, what we want to say to them is turn to Jesus. Trust in Him. His grace is sufficient. If you have never experienced that in your life, would you talk to somebody? Just ask questions about that today. It is such good news. And if you are here and you are living for nothing, your life feels stuck, you feel frustrated, you feel depressed, you feel blah, you feel bored out of your mind, you are ready to check out of church the first chance you get because you're just bored, you do not see the purpose of it, go out to Jesus. Go outside of the camp, see where He is at work, live for these things that are eternal. He is at work in your life and He is drawing you into His mission, calling us to go out, to live so that other people would know how good He is. Would you bow your heads with me? I want to give you a chance to reflect on some of these things. We know how life works. Life, the moment we leave here, hopefully we go find lunch and a nap, but we also know life moves fast. If you're in here this morning and you just feel burned out on life, maybe you're here and you've just gone through a lot of really, really hard things recently. Work feels overwhelming. Family feels overwhelming. Can I remind you that the cross of Jesus brings peace and rest to those who are burned out? And this morning, would you just receive that peace and rest? The biggest problems that any of us will ever face in our lives, the reality of our sin, the reality of death, Jesus has dealt with both of those. He has dealt with our deepest problems, and He can handle what we are going through. And if you're here, and you find yourself just stuck in life, it's hard to get out of the house, it's hard to do anything, you're struggling with purpose and meaning and direction, and you just feel bored and stuck in life, can I remind you that Jesus is at work outside the camp, that He is calling you to eternal things? What's He calling you to? Maybe you're here today and He is calling you to give your life to a life lived on mission in another place. He's calling you to reach out to your friends and neighbors. He's calling you to go outside the camp, which sometimes just means outside the house. Emmaus, let's live our lives as those who have experienced the good news of the cross of Jesus Christ. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the baptisms this morning. Thank you for the music and the prayers. Thank you for the conversations that will happen after this. In the holiness of this moment, God, we say that we trust you and we want to live for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.